Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida. And once again, I'm so delighted to be with you on this weekend as we continue to, just do our best to help you hear God on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting in with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. Well, I feel like we're getting ready to say goodbye to an old friend because we've been in this particular radio message series now on the eighth and final week, and we're looking at a portrait of God that I call He is our creative healer. Yeah, He's the creative healer who cannot be formalized with all the debates and confusion sometimes on the subject of divine or supernatural healing. I hope this series has been helpful to you to kind of just see that, man, He is so creative in our healing, we really can't formalize Him, though we can see some patterns here and there. And so we're going through our list of 20 reasons why He allows physical infirmities. We're going to finish up today. It'll be a challenge because there's a lot of material here, number 18, 19, and 20. So we'll want to get started here in just a moment. But you can make your way, if you like, over to 2 Samuel chapter 13. Then we'll be looking at all kinds of scriptures that you can jot down. And two sections that will have, you know, six subpoints, and then another one with five subpoints. So I hope you're ready to take notes. And but just a reminder as you're making your way to 2 Samuel that all of these messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. You can hear the broadcast again by clicking on the broadcast box and then the next landing page, Portraits of God, and then you'll have this series right in front of you. You can also get the message notes, all these things I'm sharing with you today and previously in this series. If you go to the landing page at markpg.org and print, click on printable guides, and then you scroll down that list, just look for the series on He is Our Creative Healer. You'll have a couple of things you can click on to print out, just two pages each, outlines of what I've been going through. All right, so it's markpg.org. There are other helps on that website, all of which have one thing in mind, and that's to help you hear God. And that is our heart today, so let's take a few moments, as is our custom, to go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to walk with my brothers and sisters through the Scriptures as we sit at Your feet and listen for Your heart. Lord, this particular series has been such a blessing to me to share as I've pulled together 40 years of study and preaching and teaching on this subject, to put it as succinctly as I can in this eight-part series and two-page outline. So thank You for being the kind of God who loves to show us how You work and why You work. We love hearing Your whispers from above, Lord, and we ask for nothing less as we wrap up this journey on this portrait of You as our creative healer. Oh, thank You, Lord. We love You, Lord. And we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, if you've been with us, we have been going through this entire list of 20. We've seen that we started with the 20 reasons why He allows physical infirmities by giving you five gifts. It's to give us the gift of priority healing, and then the gift of timely healing, and then the gift of ultimate healing when He takes us home to glory, the gift of shareable comfort as He comforts us in our infirmities and we can comfort others, and then the gift of prevailing grace, that His grace supersedes any weakness, any illness, any thorn in the flesh we may have. And then we also saw in the next series, number six and following, that He uses physical infirmities to remind us of our temporary bodies, to prompt us toward nutritional lifestyles, to reveal and heal broken hearts, to reveal and heal wayward hearts, to reveal and heal unforgiving bitterness, and number 11, stressful anxiety, and number 12, self-sufficient pride, number 13, fragile faith, number 14, quenched confession, 15, willful obedience, 16, rebellious ways. And now we come to how he uses physical infirmities to reveal and heal generational impacts, which we touched on briefly at the end of the last broadcast. Just a quick reminder that those seven generational impacts based on Exodus 20, verse 5, for I, the Lord, your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity, not the punishment, the iniquity of the fathers to onto the children, on the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me. That's just simply saying that, you know, when we sin, it not only impacts our lives, but those around us, including our children and even the third and fourth generations. But Ezekiel 18:20 clarifies the son will not suffer the punishment for the father's guilt, nor will a father suffer the punishment for the son's guilt. So there's no sense of the Lord's retribution in this. It's just the natural consequences of generational impacts. And we saw seven of them. Generational sin and original sin was number one. We all know that one, Adam and Eve. This was passed on to all generations. A nature that is sinful that needs to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross. Number two, generational circumstances. This has to do with our ethnicity, nationality, genetics, in which we inherit a lot of mindsets and practices and genetically some physiological things. Then there's a generational impact that's we call generational consequences. You may be from a broken home. You may grow up in poverty. There may have been drugs in your family by your parents, and we tend to be subject to the consequences of that kind of thing. Then there's generational attitudes and sin that get passed on, anger, bitterness, fearful, rejection. Man, parents can pass that on to their kids, and it can even get amplified. Then there are generational curses or sin. This is parental criticism, when they scold harshly, when there's sarcasm and putting you down, and that can be so scarring for a long time, tremendous impact, and we can get physically sick because of all that internal heartache that all of these generational impacts cause. There's generational abuse, that's number six, and sin, tragically, emotional abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, spiritual abuse happens in families, and God wants to heal you from that, because that too can lead to physical infirmities. And then there can be generational spirits and sin from families where there has been Satanism practice or witchcraft or occultism. We're going to talk more about that later in another section. But those are the generational impacts that God wants to reveal and heal that may be causing your physical infirmity. Now we come to number 18. Another reason why the Lord allows physical infirmities is to reveal and heal toxic soul ties. Toxic soul ties. There are six types of toxic soul types. Let me start you off in 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 2. David's son Absalom had a beautiful sister named Tamar, and David's son Amnon was infatuated with her. Amnon was frustrated to the point of making himself sick over his sister Tamar. Why? Because he had, here's number one of six, he had a one-way soul tie. He was so infatuated with her, lusting after her, wanting her so badly, he made himself sick over it. And you know what? Sometimes we can develop these one-way soul ties over someone of the opposite sex, and in this day and age, someone of the same sex, and just make ourselves sick over it because we're getting this unrequited love kind of connection that is, we get disappointed, it's unreachable, it's unattainable, they're out of our league, all those kinds of things, and oh my soul, that kind of a soul time that's one way, the other person has nothing to do with it except just being the way they are and looking the way they look. We can actually make ourselves sick over it. So sometimes the Lord wants to reveal a one-way soul tie that's actually impacting us physically. Number two is a fantasy soul tie. Matthew 5:28 puts it this way, "But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And this can go for the opposite gender as well. Fantasy, soul ties, sexual yearnings or fantasies with others, even emotional fantasy ties and that type of a thing. Man, that is a one-way type of thing as well, but it gets more in the realm of our mind as a fantasy that goes over and over, and sometimes it's even a combination of women or actresses or actors on TV that you just get these fantasies about, or old girlfriends or old boyfriends or even other people's mates that you fantasize about. What would it be like to be with them instead of my mate? Oh, my friend, gotta guard your heart. From it flow the springs of life, and anyone who looks at a woman or a man lustfully has already committed adultery in heart, and that can lead to physical infirmity. God wants to reveal and heal a fantasy soul tie. He also wants to reveal and heal flirting soul ties. This gets kind of touching. Is flirting so bad? Our culture thinks it's not. Water cooler, you know, flirtation and the way you interact with people and all those kinds of emails you might write or texts you might write or pictures you might send or jokes you may make or banter you may engage with. You got to be very careful. And then we end up, one of the signs that you really are flirting is that you touch the other one. You kind of chuck them on the arm, you know, or you kind of hit them, you know. I can't believe you said that, you know, or you shake a shoulder or any way you touch them. Scripture puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1. Now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. That word touch is the Greek word hapto. It means to set a flame. You know, you can spark something in another person and through flirting and touching. That's, you might justify in your own mind, it's not sexual. I'm not trying to make it lead anywhere. It's just kind of fun to flirt. Yeah, but it can turn into a soul tie that can result in emotional bonding. It can result in physical infirmity. And the Lord wants to reveal and heal flirting soul ties. Number four are sexual soul ties. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 16 warns us, do you not know that the one who joins himself to a harlot is one body with her? When we engage in sexual relations with someone who is not our mate, it's the spirit of harlotry at work. Whether it's two singles coming together, whether it's two married people or one married and one isn't, or on and on. These sexual soul ties are serious, and our culture is actually almost a step short, if not on the other side, of promoting such things as just sexual games, you know, hooking up, a sporting activity. But it is not that benign. It is a soul tie that gets you connected to that person in a deeper way, in a one-body kind of way with that other person when you engage in illicit sexual activity. Sexual soul ties are something the Lord wants to reveal and heal in us to heal us. And those things can lead to physical infirmities, not just at the emotional level, but the sexually transmitted level. And the sexual transmitted diseases are on the rise. I think there used to be two or three primary ones three decades ago. Now there's something like 24 of them. Our culture is reaping what they've sown with sexual soul ties, sexual sin rampant in our cultures. Number five, grieving soul ties. 2 Corinthians 2, verse 5, but if anyone has caused grief, he's not grieved me, but all of you, to some extent, not to be too severe. You know, when we grieve and cause others grief, there's a connection, there's a soul tie, not so much on the sexual side or the fantasy side or the infatuation side, but it's just when you go through heavy grief together, you become more closely bonded than ever before. So be very careful when you are with someone of the opposite sex in particular, and because you don't want to inadvertently start a soul tie through grief. And then number six, associational soul ties, Proverbs 22, verse 24 through 25. Do not make friends, do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared. Who you hang around makes a huge difference, and you take on the characteristics, both good and bad, of those that you hang around with the most. And if they're not good characteristics or attitudes, you can absorb those, and those very things can also make you physically sick. So the Lord wants to reveal and heal associational soul ties. So these are the six toxic soul ties, or more, I'm sure, if you give some thought to it, but these are the ones that came to my mind: the one-way soul tie, the fantasy soul tie, the flirting soul tie, the sexual soul tie, the grieving soul tie, and the associational soul tie. Well, that's number 18 as we're wrapping up this series with number 19 and 20. Number 19 is that the Lord, our creative healer, allows physical infirmities to reveal and deliver us from satanic demonic buffeting. From satanic demonic buffeting. Job 2:4 puts it this way: and Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Verse 6, so the Lord said to him, well, behold, Job is in your power, only spare his life. So there's satanic buffeting there. 2 Corinthians 12:7, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. So there it is again. But then a different version of that, another dynamic, is 1 Timothy 4:1. Now the Spirit explicitly says that in later times some will depart from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons or teachings of demons. So I know that this whole area of satanic activity, demonic activity, its impact on us, do we have delegated power from the Lord to deal with it? Well, the answer is yes. We're going to see five examples of demonic dynamics. If you're taking notes, these are the five demonic dynamics that can be at play in a person's life and bring physical infirmity as a result. And by the way, we know many instances throughout the Gospels of how Jesus delivered people from demonic spirits and they were healed, but this is going to get a little bit more specific for us as we go along. So here are the five demonic dynamics that may be at play in your heart, in your life, that may be causing physical infirmities, which is why the Lord wants to reveal and deliver you from satanic or demonic buffeting. Here's number one, demonic doctrines. I mentioned it a moment ago, 1 Peter 4, verse 1. The Spirit explicitly says that some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and doctrines of demons. Now, doctrines just means teachings. In other words, our culture is filled with demonic doctrines. The philosophy of our age, humanism, has dominated public education since the 1930s. We've all been indoctrinated to one degree or another. If we've gone through the public school systems with that, they don't even know that they're teaching religious humanism that's man-centered, takes God out of the equation. It was a created strategy in the 1930s by John Dewey, who's often called the reformer of education, and he kind of was, because he and 40 others who actually wrote the original religious humanist doctrinal statement. They don't call it that, you know. If you want to look at humanism, look up humanism and its inception. They took out the religious tag because they wanted to infiltrate the schools and entertainment and government with this philosophy, but they had to give it other taglines so they wouldn't be resistant to it. They stopped calling it religious humanism and just called it humanism, and then called it progressivism as they introduced it into school curriculum. And it's been going on for decades, and it's why we've come to the place in this man-centered religious system where man decides what's right for himself, not a God up in heaven and not anybody else. It manifested in the 1960s, you know, with the free sex movement. I decide when I have sex, who I have sex with, anytime I want. And then by the 70s, I can decide what to do with an infant being formed in my womb. You know, it's two lives, not just one. And so abortion and Roe v. Wade came out because of the philosophy that I get to decide what I do with a baby in my own womb. And then it came with sexual orientation, with the LGBTQ movement, all of that, to the successive decades. Now we're at the place, you're your own boss, you're your own God to determine your own gender. You know, you can, it's not biological, it's psychological. Just make a decision, it's yours, you know, and that's really the heart of the debate. It's full flower of religious humanism, doctrines of demons that we have been inculcated with, indoctrinated with, don't even realize it, but it's very, very contrary to the principle of God's word. Now, that's a whole series in and of itself, but that just shows you that there's a tremendous impact from demonic doctrines under different labels. Of course, all the different world religions that are not Christian, all the cults and stuff, and all the occultic practices and stuff, all of these are from the pit of hell, my friends. Satanic, demonic, buffeting doctrines of demons that lead people astray. Now, how does that work? How has it happened? Well, let me take you to number two, demonic thoughts that are implanted in our minds. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and following give us our next three samples of demonic dynamics. So, demonic thoughts. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 and 5 say this: "We do not war according to the flesh," that is, other people. "We are taking every thought captive in obedience to Christ." See, a demonic doctrine, a system of thought, a religious system contrary to God's word, all of those things, that confusion, that disorientation, that deception, begins with single thoughts. Kind of like, think a little dark moth is flying around your head, trying to fly through your ear and get in your brain. Well, we need to take those thought captives. Picture a butterfly net, a little one on the end of a stick. Catch any of those thoughts that come and you want to dwell on them in your mind. Wait a minute, take it captive. Now, is this of the Word of God or not? Is this the biblical worldview or not? And don't let it in. Easier if you catch it early. But we don't always do that. Sometimes it's like when we catch a virus, which is number three. We have demonic doctrines, we have demonic thoughts, we have demonic viruses. The Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5, we are destroying speculations. Now, this is what I'm calling a virus, metaphorically. And every lofty thing raised against the knowledge of God. Thoughts begin as a one-time thing, then a two-time thing, but as it keeps coming, and related thoughts along a certain thought line keeps coming in, we create a speculation. We create a construct, a narrative in our own minds. If they're of the Lord and by the Spirit of God, that is good. We are hearing His whispers. He's changing us. But if it's from the enemy, Satan, the demonic realm, viruses is a good metaphor because it comes in, you can't see it, can't smell it. But when it comes in and starts doing it work, boy, do you know something's going on. Those are the speculations, the viruses that get in. And if it's not dealt with, it turns into what we call a stronghold, which is number four. We have demonic doctrines, demonic thoughts, demonic viruses, demonic strongholds. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses or strongholds. That system of thought, that way of thinking, that false narrative, you might be a victimization kind of a narrative, or I'm no good narrative, or everybody else is bad, and whatever. We create these narratives, which are actually can be demonic strongholds embedded in us by initial thoughts, turning into viruses, turning into strongholds, and nothing but the supernatural weaponry of God, prayer, divine intervention, anointed counseling and preaching, God's touch from above can free us up. And finally, we have demonic presence. Matthew 5, 2, "And when he had come out of the boat," this is the Gadarene demoniac, "immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him." And we see examples of bizarre behavior, a man living among the tombs, self-exile, he's away from everybody else, self-mutilation, it says he was cutting himself, supernatural strength, he was breaking the chains that they put on him, strange voicing, who are you, I know who you are, God, you know, that's evidence of a strong demonic presence that deliverance must take place that can only be done by the power of the living God. Now, obviously, this is a whole sermon series in and of itself, but I wanted to give you a taste of the reality of how sometimes physical infirmity can be related to satanic and demonic buffeting, whether it be doctrines, thoughts, viruses, strongholds, or demonic presence. And that brings us to number 20, ultimate reason why he allows physical infirmities to glorify himself in all kinds of healings. Oh, he is our creative healer. We saw this as we went through the series. John 9:3 answered, when people said, hey, who was it that sinned, this man or his parents, that he's sick? Jesus said, it was neither this man's sin nor his parents. It was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. My friends, the big picture is, his ways are not our ways. He's creative in the way he heals, his timing, all those things. Do you trust him or not? That's what it comes down to. Oh, seek the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he will open your eyes to see, to reveal, and to heal why you may be experiencing physical infirmity. And when you get that and you trust him, it'll bring healing in all kinds of ways. Well, Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for being the God who heals, a creative healer. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, check out my website at markpg.org. Until next time, fall in love with Jesus, your creative healer.